Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Let's talk to Todd right now, who incredibly is calling us from San Francisco, which would be 5 a.m. Todd, hello.
Hey now, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
BG, what's up?
Morning.
Todd, you're really in San Francisco?
I live in the Bay, and I'm
Where?
So happy that the 49ers are trash right
Where
now.
Where are you in the Bay?
Walnut Creek.
Wow, okay. So he's East Bay. He's out.
Yeah, just a little east of.
He's out in like Oakland
area. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. East of the tunnel, John. East of the Caldecott Tunnel.
I gotcha.
Man, it's beautiful.
I used to live in Berkeley.
Sure, love that place.
It is gorgeous.
All right, Todd, what do you got for us today?
Hey, you know, Mike had said it earlier. The Eagles are playing inspired. It's absolutely beautiful. It will continue to grow. I know BG's a big piece of that. Saquon is going to continue to help everybody just want and desire to play hard.
Well, look, Saquon is one of the best Eagles players I've ever seen. And obviously the totality of his time here pales in comparison to others that played for 5 or 10 or 15 years. But what he has pointed out there this year honestly reminds me a lot of T.O. in 04. It is an impact where you see a guy that is just on a different level. It's incredible.
I wanted to also mention that yesterday's montage was absolutely epic. From Metallica to the cut from the Hard Knock Show, and then the piece de resistance, honestly, was Andre the Giant from The Princess Bride.
Sure was.
Awesome.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I love it. Amazing. All right, Todd, give us a great answer. A scene with a doctor.
You know, all I could think about was The Hangover, when they're in the hospital trying to talk to that doctor.
It's Ken Jeong.
And the doctor was so dry and threw in little cuss words that I can't say over the radio, but it made me just roll so
That's
hard.
So good.
Well, it's great.
You know,
exactly.
He was a doctor.
He was a real doctor. That's
a
how he got the role. He was a real doctor.
Before
but that was his first acting role. Isn't
yeah.
that cool?
It's incredible. Brandon, what's your favorite movie?
That's a good one. Man, I watch a lot of them, but if I had to say, I'm more on the mafia side, so I go. What is the one I'm thinking about? Oh, Narcos. I mean, like, you know, shows like Narco, mm-hmm. like Narcos. But I can't think of a movie right now. Friday was always my number one growing up because that was my first real one that my mom let me. Well, I snuck and watched, but my mom ended up, you know, let me watch it.
Big Worm.
There you go. What about Gladiator? Like, Gladiator's up there for. Everyone. Braveheart is up there.
Not for me. For not everyone. A Braveheart guy.
Yeah. No? Braveheart's phenomenal.
We've talked about this.
Phenomenal.
Overrated.
I'm with you on
Gladiator. I like Friday better than Braveheart.
I like Friday way better than Braveheart. Friday's awesome.
That they told, I mean, that the boy told on them, because that was a good movie. 300 was good. Mm-hmm. I like how they went out, though, but still.
All right, Brandon, what about the romantic, sappy type? Do you have a favorite? Like, I'm a Notebook fan, and I heard T.O. years ago say that's his favorite movie. Do you get?
So you're looking for support?
I'm looking for this? Does Brandon get into the love story movie?
Yeah, well, my wife wants me to sit down and watch and rub some feet.
Sounds like he's forced.
But you know what? We used to watch Lifetime a lot, like watch those little shows. Mm-hmm. And so she still watches Lifetime. And so whatever them shows is on there, I'm be into them because it's always good and to the end.
You got it, my man. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ken in Cinemenson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken. Good.
Hey, you know, Joe, the Hallmark Christmas movies are going to be starting soon, too, so you can get yourself all fired up.
What are my three words, Ken?
I don't know.
You're not cool.
Tis the season.
Jason Kelsey's mom is in one of them.
Oh, that's great.
Coming up. Yep.
We are getting very close to Tis the Season Hallmark movies. Love it.
Well,
I don't think I've ever seen one.
As daily wisdom, Joe, so surprisingly. BG,
Ken.
I'm the
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
No, let's move forward. Ken,
please, go ahead.
BG, I'm the caller that prompted you to call the midday show last week and tell Kyle Quinn that everything I said was right. So I appreciate you having my back on that.
Oh yeah, man. He was talking that nonsense last week. I had to call in one time, but you know, I'm just having fun. But I appreciate you.
I wanted to ask you a kind of a technical question because it's obvious that Bryce Huff is more comfortable out of a 4-point stance than he is out of a 3-point stance. At least it's obvious to the naked eye from a production standpoint. What is the difference from a technique perspective that would make him be more comfortable in a 4-point stance as opposed to a 3-point stance?
I can real quick before we get that answer. Give me your answer. A scene with a doctor. What do you got?
I got to go with Fusilli Jerry and the Ass Man and Seinfeld.
All right, you got it, my man. All right, so Brandon, what's the answer to that question?
You know what? Coming to the league, that's what he's been doing. I mean, you get that muscle memory of being in that 3-point stance. I know all about it, but. You practice the 2-point. It's just something about your lean that when you get in a 3-point is different. And so that's
what he's talking four, though.
Well, yeah,
he's saying
four is good, too. You know, but that's what I'm saying, like that lean to get off, because that's all you want is the pressure on your hands so that as soon as that ball go, you taking off. And I know for him, it's comfort. And that's what you know. He got back to what he knew. And I'm so happy for him these last couple weeks because we talked about it. Because 2-point stands is not always – you know, ideal for certain people, and mm-hmm. I understand that, but you got to practice it all the time. But like I told him, we don't have time. Let's be you, Bryce.
Doesn't a 4-point, though, prevent you from being able to do certain things? Like, I would think it would make it so hard to, like, drop. If you end up having to, you know,
yeah, but you
one
know
out
what?
Of that's nine where, times drop.
That's where you got to switch it up because, you know, on film, as you know, you start finding the little tails. Oh, he dropping here because he's standing up. So
sure.
You got to switch it up. You got to be able to go from a 2-point stand. Then you got to be able to drop too. Sometimes from a 3-point if you're going to do that too. You got to mix it up.
Yeah.
But I know standing up, you can see a lot more, but I try not to see too much, but just worry about what my tackle right there. And if I got a number two that I got to go to, sometimes he in the backfield, sometimes he out, but it just depends on if you're a nickel or not.
You prefer a 2-point stance then?
Well,
to
right
everything?
Now, I'd have been working all off season, even last year on the 2-point. So that's why you see me more up in the 2-point because I'm more comfortable even more now than the 3-point.
Cause I would think that now, in your role even,
mm-hmm.
being able to see all 10 other guys too, that would give you more of a sense of, like, you're a coach out there, you can tell everyone where they need to be. If you see something off or whatever, it seems like it would lend itself to giving you a chance to do what you need to do better, mm-hmm. being in the 2-point.
Nah, it's cool because I feel like Vic does a great job of, like, man, when this game is like certain stuff, when they do certain stuff, oh, this here come a run. Like, if you ever see me putting my finger or doing something, it's just like calling out certain stuff. Because that quarterback run that we stopped, it was a couple times like, oh, when they take them back in motion and then, you know, he'll fake the screen and then, uh-huh. you know, run the other way. And so it was a couple times where the lineman was telling me a lot of the stuff.
So wow. You actually are out there identifying, okay, I saw this in meetings. Vic showed us this play. Yeah. I know in this formation, they're probably going to motion here. I know what the play is going to be. Hey, guys, over on the other side, it's coming your way.
Yeah, or, you know, we just talking out there. And so that's where I feel like we growing every step because even for me, it's like, oh, man, Vic said this right here. Okay, and just trusting it because sometimes you don't trust it, and then it was that, and it's like, man, I should have said something. But, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, if I see it, I say something. You know, if I make a mistake, I'm still going to say something because, I mean, majority of the time with the preparation that we do every day, it's like, man, I'm trusting what they saying. And so
good stuff, man.
That's great.
Brandon, let's talk about Saquon for a moment here. Mm-hmm. So you weren't here when T.O. was here. Right, obviously 04, it was just bonkers. And you were here when AJ got here in 2022, and you just see it, just a ridiculous immediate difference. Can you put into words Saquon and the advantage that he gives your football team?
Man, he is a special talent, for sure. Great person. And, he come to work every day. I mean, we usually meet up around like, well, he usually come at 10. I go at 9 because I'm trying to get out of there because the kid's at school and you get a little free time. But I know for him, it's like he just come to work every day, I mean, really just had it on his mind that this was going to be that type of season. Even the way he taking care of his body, you see, just he just want to make it through a season, because I know injuries, I know that chip on my shoulder when I had it, and I know I can see it with him on just trying to make sure he's staying healthy, staying available, and just having a dominant season that, you know, I feel like, man, he deserve it because he been working. And especially behind this line that we got, because, I mean, it ain't perfect, but at the end of the day, I feel like, man, Stout ain't never going nowhere.
There you go.
He keep them boys together, and it don't matter who in there.
Love it. And, yeah, you're going to eat this week against Joe Burrow and knock that guy down a little bit?
Hey, let me tell you, man, we're going to work this week, and then I'll see you on Sunday. But I better not hear nothing. And if I do, I just know we're using that as motivation, so keep it coming.
You got it. Brandon, congrats on the win. And I think the town's getting more energized. So, you know, congrats on that reality. And we hope for, obviously, great things on Sunday and Sensei. Thanks, bud.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni will be on the show coming up in 20 minutes. Snoop will be on the show.
Nothing but a G thing?
Oh, I got it, Seltzer. Took me a second. Didn't know it till you said it. So, James, you ever going to book a Snoop Dogg kind of guest? I mean, why is it every time I look on my screen, I see Elliot Sherpark's name? Like, great. Love him. But, I mean, how about Snoop? Well,
poor Elliot. What a shot
how
at
about,
Elliot.
How about Snoop?
It takes the time to call in. Richie's the one who knows Snoop.
Well, he met him. I don't know if he knows him, but he met him.
Well, I mean, they were naked together. He's told us that.
Yeah, what was that about again?
We were kind of naked together.
And where was that?
This was at the Raider facility. He was there to film something for MTV, and I was there. It was the off season. A lot of guys were going out and watching the filming. I had to go somewhere. So I was on my way out, and Snoop's representative came in to pull me aside. Like, all the guys on my team were like going out there to go check it out. I had to go, but he's coming after me with his rep. Hey, Mr. Richie, Snoop would like to talk to you.
That is great.
I'm like, why does he want to talk to me? So he stops doing what he's filming out there with MTV to come in.
That's incredible.
To talk to me. And he's carrying like a bag with his change of clothes. So he starts undressing.
Yep.
We're in the locker room. He starts undressing. I've never seen someone this skinny. I've never, in my life, I've never seen a human look like this.
I'm picturing this.
That's great, man. That's great.
For real. He looked like he weighed, I don't know, 75 pounds. And at the time, remember, I'm accustomed to standing next to
some bigger dudes.
Like 350 pounders. And so it really just, it's just so incongruous to what I was accustomed to. But anyway, he's like, so John, I love the fullback position. I love the way you play it.
Wow.
I coach my son, or it was sons. I forget what it was at the time. Maybe he was just talking about getting into coaching, but he was really into my position, the way I played it. And he said, I designed, you know, here I brought this clothing for you. And it was like this specially designed Snoop Dogg, like, it was like a sweatsuit.
Wow.
Well, the cool thing is that he's a fan of you. I mean, that's the bottom line.
I couldn't believe
it. Which leads to Seltzer, get him on the show. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
well, now I got an in.
Now you do have an in. All right.
Possibly.
So let's talk to the aforementioned Elliot Sherparks. Again, Nick Sirianni in about 15 minutes. Elliot right now, brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
Man, it sounds like Snoop might have had a little bit of a crush on Richie.
Maybe.
Bringing him clothes. You know?
Yeah. Nah, not a crush. It was respect, man.
Wow.
We respected one another. At least that's the way I felt.
That's magnificent. Cool. That's pretty cool. So, Elliot, we're trying to figure out what we got with the football team. Yeah, you know, this is one of those Tuesday assessment shows. We know we saw a win. We know it was a convincing win. But a lot of us don't know quite how to feel about it because the other team's bad. And the last two teams have been bad. So what do we got this year with this football team?
I think they're a good team. And I think if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago before these last two games, I probably would have told you average. But they have taken steps forward the last 2 weeks. And I think at this point of the season, that's really all you can ask for. I hate to keep bringing up the Phillies when using this example, but the Phillies were awesome for 75% of the year. Like, and it didn't end up mattering. So we can look at what they are now and say, could they beat the Detroit Lions today? No, probably not. Are they the best team in the NFC today? Probably not. But when you look at the NFC and you look at their fact that there are really no great, great teams, in my opinion, and that this team probably still has more talent than a lot of teams out there, all they really need to do is take a step forward each week. And it does really feel to me, and this is why I was so sure they'd beat the Giants. Like, I thought they took a step forward against the Browns, and I think they took another step forward against the Giants.
You know, Elliot, I want to ask you about the Eagles offense, but before I do, I want to play some audio of Jalen Hurts after the game on Sunday afternoon, when he talked about the offense running so much. Let's roll that.
You want to be able to win in multiple ways, and I think as we continue to build, I think, you know, we'll continue to see that even more. That's what the good offenses have. They're capable of doing both. They're not one dimensional. And so we just want to continue to build our toolbox, build our portfolio, if you will, of what we can do and how efficient we can do all these different things.
You know, Elliot, one of the things that's fascinating within a season is as the coaching staff figures out what they've got and don't got, how they adjust. And it struck me Sunday, like, I think the Eagles might be becoming a running team. They did that in 2021. Ike made the point yesterday that in the early going to 03 after the struggles, the Eagles leaned on the running backs when Donovan was struggling until he got more in rhythm. Do you think that's not just a one-game thing that they ran so much, but that might be a blueprint moving forward?
So I think there's two reasons for that. And the first I would say is you're probably overlooking the loss of Jordan Mailata there a little bit. Like, Fred Johnson, in my opinion, is a better run blocker right now than he is a pass blocker. I thought he really struggled against the Giants. Granted, it is Brian Burns. That's a really tough matchup, right? Mailata could have struggled there as well. But I think that when you're missing one of your best pass-protecting tackles in Jordan Mailata, like, you have to adjust the game plan. So I think that combined with the score is probably why you saw a lot of the running game. But also, I feel like the last 2 weeks, especially early on in the game, they've gone to the running game more. And I think part of that is Jalen Hurts was struggling with turnovers. And so if you're going to put the ball in his hands less, and I think he's been obviously better at protecting the ball, like, Saquon hasn't fumbled all year. So I think that just in terms of trying to cut down the turnovers, putting it in Saquon's hands more also helps with that.
Is Kellen or Nick, whoever's calling the plays, are they allowed to run it the way we ran it, where Jalen only threw it 14 times? This identity that the organization wants to have, previously it felt like it was a lot more pass-heavy than what we saw against the Giants. How does the organization want it to look? Are we allowed to be a running team?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Jalen throw it 14 times very many. And I'll say this, if he does, then they're probably going to win almost every game because they're probably up big. Like, I think a lot of that was the result. I mean, he didn't play the fourth quarter. So I wouldn't put too much stock into, like, the very low number of passes there. But
yes,
one major difference between the Eagles teams now and the Eagles teams of the past, really, probably almost any Eagles team, except for maybe when McCoy was here, is they've invested big-time money in the running back position. Like, normally this team has invested money in the passing game, and they obviously have with this team as well, with A.J., Devontae, Jalen, Goddard. But they've never really had a running back that they gave this type of money to. So, you know, obviously I think you're talking about Jeffrey Lurie here. Like, if Lurie's going to sit in the box and you know, wonder what they're doing on offense, like, he paid a running back. So he's going to want to see the running back get the ball. I still think they're going to be a pass-heavy team. It's the smarter way to play in the NFL. It's how the best teams play. But now that they've paid Saquon big money and he's playing so well, yeah, I definitely think they're more open to being a heavier running team than in the past.
So the Bengals' run defense is bad. Is it going to look like it? I mean, are we going to take advantage of that? Can we expect that we'll actually go out there and do what we did against the Giants again?
So I don't know if you'll have 180 yards again or whatever it was, 176. But, yeah, I think they will go to Cincinnati and they will run the ball. Like, Saquon's been probably their best player all year, him or A.J. Brown. But with Saquon playing all the games, I think you'd probably have to lean Saquon. And I really do think, like, they will go out there, and if they feel running the ball is the best way to win, they'll do it. Now, this Bengals game is a much tougher game because their offense is obviously way better than the two last offenses they faced. So, you know, if you're behind 14-0, if you fall behind 10-0 because of the first quarter struggles scoring the ball, like, then you wonder if, you know, you'll get away from it. But I do think they'll go into Cincinnati thinking they can run the ball on this team, and they can. They can run it on anybody in the league.
So the 21.9 miles per hour thing, should that make the team feel better about the way they're managing Saquon? You know, the fact that that was, I think that was the second fastest speed registered by any running back this year. That's Saquon Barkley. Saquon, our 235-pound running back, is out there running faster than any back in the NFL. Does that validate the usage? And does that mean that we can continue to expect 20-plus touches a game by Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, this team has always been really good at taking care of their players. It's why every training camp we have the debate about if they should practice harder or not, right? So they've always been good. I think their sports medical staff does do a good job taking care of the players. And, you know, one thing that has stuck with me is a few weeks ago, Saquon was talking about, you know, if he should be touching the ball less, because obviously this is a team that plans on playing into January and potentially that first week of February. And he said it's not really about the number of touches. It's about how those touches work, like how he's getting hit, how many hard hits is he taking, is he, you know, running into guys. And obviously this was a physical game against the Giants last week, but in general, this offensive line has created a lot of big holes for Saquon. So, he seems to be in great shape. Obviously, we know he works hard and he is in great shape. So I understand the discussion about the touches thing and worrying about him late in the year, but I think between Saquon's work ethic and the way they manage people, like, it's, you just have to hope he stays healthy. But I don't think it'll be the result of anything they do.
Elliot Shore Parks here with us now. Elliot, I want to ask you the Twitter poll question, and I'm curious which side of this you come down on. It's brought to us today by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse. And of course, it has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question, Elliot. Who or what are you more confident in the rest of the season? These are two biggies for how good or not the Eagles will be. Which are you more confident in, Jalen Hurts or the Eagles' defense, Elliot?
I would say Jalen Hurts. I've really been impressed by Jalen the last 2 weeks. I thought he played outstanding against the Giants, and I thought he was really encouraging against the Browns. The pass rush, to me, I still don't believe in it. Look, they've played two really bad offensive lines. They've played offensive lines that have backups in there, and frankly, they've played bad coaching staffs. Like later in the year when they play great teams, I think they will play teams that have a better offensive coaching staff. So I think Jalen Hurts the last week, the way he's taking care of the ball, how many times I'm seeing him in the pocket with two hands on the football. I'm not seeing him squeeze the ball into any tight windows. Like, he's been so smart with the football. That, in my opinion, is what will carry this team to those 10-11 wins they might need. The defense has been impressive, but I don't believe in the pass rush.
When Devontae gets one catch for negative 2 yards, he has said nothing off kilter publicly. But do you really think privately he's okay when a player of his caliber gets one catch for negative 2 yards?
Yeah, this is.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
why they paid him, you know, $50 million this past offseason. Like, that's the benefit of having all these guys under contracts they were happy with. I get what you're saying, that ultimately he's going to want to have, you know, more catches, and he will. But, you know, had they not paid him and this was a contract year, yeah, then maybe we could talk, right? Like, yeah, is Devontae going to be unhappy? Is he going to be with one of you with another team where he's going to get more touches? But Devontae has said repeatedly he's happy. I believe him, having been around him his whole career. He seems happy every time I see him. And he's a very rich, happy man because they paid him.
He sure is.
I really think that's the benefit of having these guys under contract, is you don't have to worry about it.
Elliot, what are the odds that Sidney Brown blows up his brother, Bengals running back Chase Brown, this week?
Well, he'd have to be on the field for defense, so that's a first part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, Sidney, I definitely think, is one of the hardest hitters on the team. I think that he's probably been ready quicker to get out there than the Eagles might have thought. It's just hard to find a role for him on this defense, especially now that Cooper DeJean is the starting nickel. Like, the safeties are playing well. Obviously, you're not taking Quinion or Slay off the field. And Cooper's played really well. So maybe they could try to get him in there in some type of sub package. But to what, you know, Joe was just talking about, like, the defense has played really well the last 2 weeks. So I don't know if they need to get super creative to get Sidney on the field.
All right, Elliot, good work, buddy. We'll talk to you on Friday to preview the Eagles and Bengals. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk
Thanks,
to you.
Elliot.
All right, Nick Sirianni is going to join us in 5 minutes. Let's get back to the phones right now. Let's talk to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Steve? So,
hey, Joe, Willow Grove Mall used to be an amusement park.
I know. Yeah. I do know that.
We'd ride our bikes up there and hang out, and it was great. So it was good. But, Ben, question for you. Do you bring back Rob Thompson?
100%. Yes.
Would it help to bring a person like a Dallas Green in to – like maybe smack these guys around, or that won't work with this group?
It wouldn't work with this modern day athlete, to be honest with you. And it's not just in baseball that we're seeing this. This is these athletes are raised differently. They react differently and they play differently depending on, you know, who pushes them. And there's not a whole lot of guys that are going to react to a Dallas Green type anymore. Their spot in baseball, it's almost like it's extinct anymore.
Do you think, Ben, they would leave as free agents if that occurred? Like, here's my point. I think it's somewhat impossible to know how they'd react if nobody acts that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know the common sentiment is they wouldn't like it, but no one's doing it, so we don't quite know. But do you think they essentially would buck by saying, screw you, then I'll just leave when it's my turn to leave?
Yes. And or they tune them out, or they go to someone and have them ousted. They would be gone.
A powerful player with a massive contract.
Correct.
Has that kind of power, which guys 40 years ago didn't
100%.
Have. 100%. Yeah. That's fair. That makes sense. Steve, what do you got on the Eagles there?
Well, I'm doing it in four-game stretches, and they look great against the Giants, and I hope they look great against the Bengals, but... Man, I still don't trust the coach. I just don't feel it. I just don't think he.
I'll tell you, Steve, let me tell you something, man. He, you know, I said yesterday, I hope we talk more about it, and we probably haven't talked enough about it. He had a decision on that 4th-and-3 that if it didn't work, the town would have come down on him, but it did work. And I do think as a town, there are many examples where we spend a million words to talk about what doesn't work and 100 words to talk about what does work. That was a massive moment in that football game. He made the decision and it worked.
You're right. But to be fair, there were other areas. Like, it was a balanced approach. Like, there was good with the bad.
Yeah. All right, Steve, give me a great answer. A scene with the doctor. What do you got?
Well, how about young Frankenstein when he's asking Igor, what brain did you give me? Abby Normal.
All right, my man. I still feel like there's still a winning answer out there. I just feel I've been underwhelmed with the answers. I'm just going to say that. There's more Hannibal Lecter. There's more Dr. Melfi. There's more big answers.
There's just more out there.
Right? I mean, I'm going to refrain. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to try. All right, let's go to Alan right now. Alan, you're on WIP.
What's going on, everybody? How are you?
Doing well, Alan.
I, I got to talk about Trey Turner because I'm still bothered. I'm still sad. I'm still having a bad time. I'm still not over there. All they had to do was not swing the bat, and they could have beat the Mets. But here we are.
They could have walked right around the bases to 10 runs a game. Just walked.
Oh my gosh.
And then the Mets would have had to throw strikes, and then they would have smashed the ball. It was really strategically flawed. It was really stunning. It really was.
I know.
And Alan, I get that a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and an 88-mile-an-hour breaking ball or, you know, in the moment it's hard. But if everybody watching on TV knows that a huge percentage of balls coming in there are balls, how do the players not know that they're balls? I mean, Ben, how do they not know to not swing?
Yeah. I said on the post-game show, I think it was the night they lost for good to the Mets, I said this series was lost in the second-to-last weekend in September when they went up to New York and the Mets took 3 out of 4 games from them. Mm-hmm. And it was apparent how they had a game plan on how to attack the hitters, and they executed, and the Phillies did not make any adjustments. And they did not make any adjustments in the playoffs
That's
either.
That's a failure, man.
That's what I'm saying. That series was lost back in September. And that went into the playoffs, and it was just a carryover. And, it was frustrating to watch it.
All right, Alan, give me an answer here for a great scene with a doctor.
Well, I have to make a correction because Ken Jeong did not play a doctor in The Hangover. He played a doctor in Knocked Up, and that was going to be my scene. Ken Jeong as a doctor in Knocked Up.
We will put that down as your scene. All right, so from Knocked Up, I never saw that movie, and I should.
It's really good.
It is good?
I thought so.
Very entertaining.
Fair enough.
By the way, Seth Rogen's hilarious.
Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Before we get to Nick live here, I want to go back to the moment on the sidelines. This was an interesting exchange and a great moment from Sunday. The audio has come out. Nick with Saquon Barkley. Eagles obviously had a big lead, consideration of pulling starters out. Saquon with big numbers. Let's listen on the sideline as the audio has been released by the NFL. Nick Sirianni and Saquon Barkley 2 days ago.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, promise.
Listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
That's great stuff, man. That is great stuff. It really is. All right, let's talk to the head coach of the Eagles. They're 4-2, and of course, Nick Sirianni brought to us by, as he is every Tuesday at this time, by Bud Light. Pre-game with Ava Grant. Ava Graham at Saloon 151 in Westchester this Sunday before the next game. Of course, next Eagles game. Win tickets to a home game and Eagles merchandise. The aforementioned 4-2 head coach of the Birds, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Hi, Coach.
Nick. So, Nick, a moment like that, Saquon reacting that way, we heard you post-game fired up. I mean, what he has brought to this team, if you could just talk about, holy mackerel, on the field, off the field, I mean, he just seems like a superstar player in human.
Yeah, he's a like, before you even talk about the play, you just talk about the teammate, the person, the work that he puts in. There's a reason he is who he is, right? Success is not an accident, and you see it firsthand. But great teammate. You heard it right there. Had an opportunity to set his career high of rushing yards, probably against a team that he really wanted to do it against. And wanted the other guys to go out there and finish the job and get their carries and get their touches. So that speaks a lot about him. Obviously, his play thus far this season has been awesome as advertised. He really broke out in last game and really had a play that helped us break out on offense that got us going. And just can't say enough about the person, can't say enough about the player. Can't tell you how thrilled I am that he's an Eagle.
Nick, let's talk about this win in the context of you. And I am going to predict that your answer is going to be no, but I'm going to ask the question because I'm fascinated. Did this win mean more to you personally? Not for the team's record, which we know a win is a win, but on a personal level, when you're in the eye of the storm like you were last week, does it mean more for you when you get a win in that context?
Yeah, you guessed it. No, every game's so important. Every game is we're going out there and putting everything we have. It's such a unique sport because you put everything you have into it for an entire week. That's a lot of work that goes into it by a lot of different people. And you know, you're obviously devastated every time you lose, and when you win, you're thrilled. And then it moves on to the next one. And so you always try to stay in the moment. You know, always want our players to think, hey, how do I be in this moment? How can I control the things I can control? And that's my work, and that's my attitude. Mm. And that was the only thing that was focused on, and I know our team was as well.
Well, how does it make you feel that your team showed the world that they have your back on Sunday?
Sure. I mean, those are things you know during your, you know, all the relationships that you put in to, and all the time that you put into connecting and being part of a team. I think that this team has each other's back, right? Forget my back, though. This team has each other's back. And that's because all the time they spend together, you know, I through practice, through, you know, hanging out together, through off the field, through on the field, competing against each other. And so, and that's something that you're always trying, and that's what's so cool. Each and every year is you're trying to gel the team together, and that's what your hope is, because you just want to make sure you're playing better football as you continually go through the year, and the team and the connection is a big part of that. And so, you know, I just felt like it was a good week for us. We had our best week of practice.
Second turnover free game for Jalen back to back. Why exactly was Jalen turning it over less? That was great to see.
Yeah, I obviously have a big emphasis on that, and Jalen's playing good football and taking care of the football. It's really you know, you talk every week about the double positive. We talk about that every week. Did we win the explosive play battle? And did we win the turnover battle? Well, for the ball carriers, the guys, you know, like Saquon and AJ and Kenny Gainwell, like when they get the ball in their hands, that's what they have to think of is, how do I secure this ball? How do I, you know, all those different things. Well, Jalen is responsible for creating explosive plays and taking care of the football as, oh, by the way, these 300-pound guys and Dexter Lawrence, 300 whatever, he's huge. Is trying to come down and crush him while he's trying to read a defense who's trying to deceive you. So his job is really difficult as far as, you know, the quarterbacks are one of the hardest positions to play in all sports, in my opinion, the hardest position to play in all sports. And so, you know, we want to be explosive, which we were, and we want to take care of the football, which we were. And they're, you know, when we are able to do that, you know, I know so much is put on him when we have a turnover. When we're able to play turnover free, I mean, that's so much credit goes. It's a team sport, but so much credit goes to Jalen because of all the things he's asked to do on each and individual play. So I can't tell you how pleased I am with him and how he's taking care of the football. And you know, you're only as good as your next game. So we're on that next game and seeing how Cincinnati takes it away and what we got to do to protect it against them as well.
Nick Sirianni here, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick, let's talk about two first half moments that I thought were tone setters, and I just loved it. The Saquon run on your first possession, he doesn't get the first down, but he does everything he possibly can to get as close to it. It reminded me of Walter Payton. He's just banging through dudes. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And then Cooper DeJean, basically the same kind of thing on a punt return. I mean, it was just awesome. Can you describe what that does for a sideline when they see their teammates fighting like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I know this team is physically tough, right? And I know that we're mentally tough, and I know we play with relentless effort. You're always talking about identity and, what our identity is as a football team. And one thing I know is that I know this is a close team, and I know this is a team that is just a physically tough team. And we talk about that. Where can you put your physical toughness on display? Well, you put your physical toughness on display, you know, when you have a combination block to the linebacker. You put your toughness on display, you know, there's a play where the tight end slices across and tries to block BG, and he knocks him back and puts him into the ball carrier. Put your physical toughness on display with how you tackle. Well, as a ball carrier, You know, the running back, you know, puts his toughness on display when he has the ball in his hands and what he does on the sideline. You know, some guys will step out of bounds and some guys will, you know, put their shoulder down and finish a job for extra yards. And AJ had one like that too. It wasn't like where he had to lower his shoulder, but they were ripping at the ball and he got five extra yards. And so, like, those are moments, like, when you pride yourself in being a physically tough team, those are things that really, you know they're going to be shown in the team meeting on Monday. And those are things that really get the sideline pumped, because it's like, hey, I mean, this man tried to tackle that man and he got pushed back. And that's what's so awesome about this game is, you know, man versus man, and Saquon and Coop on the sideline finished and got extra yards. And, you know, Saquon got about 5 extra yards. And I think Coop got about 10 extra yards. That's a whole first down. That's a big deal. And so we talk about that a lot, and obviously it brings a ton of excitement. You know, I think even when the defensive guy does it, it brings more excitement, right? Because defensive guys don't have the ball a lot. I can, you know, when you watch Coop's return, you look at the sideline, and I see Slay, like, jump off the bench and just sprint over to it. And it, like, for whatever reason, it brings a lot of excitement. I really wish Saquon's hit on the sideline was on our sideline. I think it would have brought the house down there, but it was on the opposite sideline. But, you know, like, it's a great question, because it does bring a ton of energy and juice to the sideline.
Nick, what's one thing you can do differently offensively this week to focus on starting faster?
Yeah, obviously that's a big, that's a big thought process for us, and we're dedicated to do everything we can possibly do to score early, score in the first quarter. We'd love to score on that first drive, and so, you know, those are things that you go through throughout the week, and you want to do plays that you feel like have the best chance to succeed, so you can get started fast. Every game's a little bit different, and one thing that you think is going to work, the defense's focus is on, and then you got to adjust. I think it's just, you know, what do we do to start fast? And again, like I said, I can't give away all the secrets that we're searching, right? We're searching for it, because we haven't been good. It's been 6 games and we haven't scored in the first quarter. So, that's always going to be us putting them in position to succeed, and the players executing. And so, that's going to be on our mind. You know, our first and second down plan will be on our mind. And then we're going to, you know, just like always, we're going to talk about, you know, which ones of those first and second down plan plays can go in there for the openers to ensure that we get off to a hot start.
Nick, similar question, but flipping it to the other side of the ball. What about turnover generation? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but generating turnovers defensively. I mean, you know, you've had 3 phenomenal defensive performances this year at the Saints, obviously the Browns game and the Giants game. But for the totality of the season, 6 games, only 2 turnovers created. And that hasn't gotten as much discussion by us as the offense. How do you get that going?
Yeah, you know, it's just got to constantly be on your mind. I thought we had a really good week of practice last week. As far as taking it away, and you know, that's something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in with the ball is, you know, with every team meeting that we're in, we're focusing on that. And so, you know, having that same focus when we're over there on defensive side, and as myself as the head coach, focusing on that as well. So we put a lot of emphasis in there, and we had a lot of turnovers at practice. But this week, we had one come out. Jalix forced a fumble. We had one on an interception. You know, I'm not sure Daniel Jones would have thrown that ball if he didn't know that we were offsides there. But, you know, I think that our mindset's in the right place. Practices look right. And I kind of compare that sometimes to sacks, where it just kind of, you know, it blows open when it blows open. You know, like obviously these last 2 weeks with our sacks have we've generated a lot of sacks, and we're putting in the work to ensure that we have some success here. But make no mistake about it, we got to coach it better and we got to execute it better, because we got to take the football away, and that's a big emphasis that we're thinking about. And sometimes, you know, I think you can think about that and sacrifice the tackle. You can do both. You can be a sound team tackling while also taking the football away, and that was. You know what, we've made some major strides in our tackling. I think they showed me the stat. We were 7th in the NFL before last night on missed tackles. And so, you know, it's got to be the same emphasis there on the ball.
Nick, are we a running football team?
Damn right.
Yes!
I think you saw that, you know, anytime you go over 200 yards rushing, you can say that for sure. I think that we've been able to run, you know, since I've been here, we've been able to run the football efficiently. And it goes in ebbs and flows, right? You know how it goes. Sometimes the box is stacked, and you got to be able to throw it. Mm-hmm. And I have so much faith in our you know, in Jalen and our receivers and our tight ends, and to be able to do that when we need to. But in this game, all right, you do what you need to do to win the football game, right? And that's in this game, it was about the running game. And I don't know where we are ranked in the league. I would assume we're pretty high after, you know. But anytime you go over that 200-yard mark, and I don't know how many times we've done that since I've been here. It feels like a lot. But it's just this great feeling when you're able to do that. And so I think we can, I said, you're right, definitely. We're a running team, but we have the ability to do both things. And the game will dictate that. And we'll try to dictate that. Like, you don't, mm-hmm. you know, you're on offense for a reason. So to try to dictate things at the, you know, to the defense. So, but I'm so confident in our offensive line. Right, I didn't even talk about them. Like, regardless of what level of football you play, the games are won and lost. It starts up front. I can't say enough about our offensive line. Lane Johnson, one of the best players in the NFL. One of the best players I've ever coached, that's for sure. Landon Dickerson, what a great player. Cam, and then the guys that stepped in, like Fred, and, you know, Makai's playing really good. And then Fred Johnson steps in and has a nice game. Tyler Steen steps in and has a nice game. And it just feels like, you know, obviously this game presents itself with injuries. And it just feels like here, I can't say enough good things about our offensive line and how he's put together the team. And, you know, we've had guys step in an offensive line and win big games throughout my tenure here. A lot of credit goes to Jeff Stoutland. All the credit goes to the guys, though, of how they prepare and get themselves ready. And so when you got the guys that we have in the room, you can definitely run the football.
Nick, congratulations. Two wins in a row, and we look forward to seeing you guys Sunday in Cincinnati. Good luck in that ball game, Nick.
Hey, and John, we played some fullback football.
I saw. That's awesome. Lead ISO all day, baby. Blow them up.
All right.
Stay well, Nick.
Awesome.
All right, see you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.